Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you today. Thank you for the invitation. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. And when Terry asked me, I started thinking, well, what do I want to share on? And then anytime I think of Fellowship Bible Church, you know, I have flashbacks, which I'm sure you do too. I go all the way back to that little room over there with Dr. Jimmy Johnson. And man, that's quite a few years ago. But anyway, I am going to bring a blast from the past this morning. But there was, when I realized what day it was the Sunday before New Year's. And some of you might remember, for almost 20 years, every Sunday before New Year's, I spoke on having a daily quiet time with the Lord. And I can stand here 5 years later, no, 20, 30, 40, whatever, and say that it's still one of the most important things and one of the most greatest privileges we have is to spend time with the Lord in His presence, particularly in the morning. So that's what we're going to do. And an insert is in your bulletin. Some of you may remember that. I didn't change anything other than I know we're getting a little older, so I put the answers in there this time. But I didn't used to put the answers. Actually, I need the answers myself. So I'm thinking about the story, which we've heard so many times, of where Martha invites Jesus into the home, her home, and she gets busy. And what's Mary doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's upset because she's having to do all the work, and Mary's doing nothing but just sitting at the feet of Jesus. So she's it's interesting that she's the one that invited Jesus in. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes I find myself inviting Jesus into my life, and then once He gets in there, I forget about Him. But that's amazing that she invited Him. She welcomed Him into her house, and she got busy, and she asked Jesus. This is in Luke chapter 10. Verse 41, it says, and the Lord answered her as she said, don't you care, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. And Jesus answered her, Martha, Martha, are you anxious and troubled about many things? And I love this next passage, but Jesus was very simple. He said, one thing's necessary. I mean, you can't get any more simple than that. That's really bringing it right down to one thing. One thing's necessary. I love that. And it's true. I can say after 74 years, 40 years being a believer, that I can say today that, and I've shared this before here a couple of times, that really, there's really only one thing in life that really matters. When it all comes down to one thing, just really one thing, not two, not three, not four, not five, but one thing. One thing is necessary, and if we get that one thing right, everything else will fall into place. But it says, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. Not the one thing that's necessary is actually the best thing. The best thing we can do as a believer, the best thing we can do is the one thing, and that is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so this morning, what does that mean to sit at the feet of Jesus? What does that mean? Well, I'm going to put that into one or two words, quiet time. Spending time with the Lord. I call it a quiet time. You can call it anything you want to call it. We'll just call it a quiet time for the lack of a better name. But a quiet time. Everyone that I've ever seen and you read about that God has ever used, you can go back and read all the missionary stories and all the great preachers and people. Everybody that God has really used has always had that quiet time with the Lord. Everyone. And not only historically, but also biblically. I mean, you go back and you can look all through Scripture. And you see whether it's David or whoever it is, Joshua, whoever, they had time with the Lord. So I remember several years ago, it was 2007, I was at a meeting in Oklahoma City, and Henry Blackaby was there. And I don't know, every time I would see him or talk to him or hear him or see him on video or whatever, he was always, and he was in his 70s then, he was always excited about the Lord. It's just like he had just met Jesus a few minutes before he met me or before I saw him. So I had breakfast with him one morning, and we walked out to the car, and he was leaving, and I asked him, he's went road experiencing God, among other things. I said, how do you keep Jesus so fresh in your life? And I really wanted to know. And he told me, he said, when I was 17 years old, and he was in his 70s then, he said, I decided that if I was going to walk with the Lord, I was going to have to get up early in the morning and spend time with him. And I tell you, that really hit me. I had always done that, but I had missed, you know, you get busy or you wake up late or stay up late and all that. So it's, but pretty consistent, but never had the rich time. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, some things that maybe be helpful to you. You may be having a rich, great, quiet time, and that's great. That's good. Praise the Lord for that. You may be struggling. It may be something you've never developed in your life. It may be something that you do, but it's out of duty rather than out of necessity and out of a love for Christ. So maybe this morning, maybe the Lord, Holy Spirit, will speak to you through the Word and ask ourselves some questions this morning. What is a quiet time? Why should I have a quiet time? When should I have a quiet time? Where should I have a quiet time? And how should I have a quiet time? They're the questions. So if I don't make it through this morning, you've got the outline. You can continue on with it. Okay. First thing is, what is a quiet time? Well, we can go back and we look early on in the book of Exodus, and Jesus refers us back to Exodus. And you remember the God's people ended up in the wilderness, and they were moaning and groaning and grumbling and complaining, and they didn't have food, and they wanted to go back to Egypt and all so forth and so on. And the Lord graciously fed them manna from heaven in the wilderness. And they lived off that for 40 years. But you know what? They died. They ate manna from heaven, but they all died. They all died in the wilderness. It's interesting that as you think about that manna, you remember, how often did they have to gather that manna? Every morning they gathered that manna from heaven. And what happened if they tried to store it up? Yep, sure did. Just like sometimes we think, well, maybe I can have a quiet time this morning that will last me the whole week. Or maybe I can come on Sunday morning and maybe this will handle me and take care of me the whole week. Not, it won't do that. At least it doesn't for me. But so anyway, Jesus refers back in John 16, he refers back to that manna from heaven, and he tells us in John 6, he says, our fathers ate the manna, this is John 6, verse 31, and fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread. Yes, of course, that's what I want. I want that bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. You know, that's the one good thing about God. He's always there eagerly waiting for us to spend time with him, to sit at his feet. You never have to worry about him being busy or not caring for you. He cares. He desires. He wants that so much that he was willing to give his only son to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have a relationship, that we might be able to spend time in the very presence of Almighty God. What an awesome privilege. This is the bread that 1977, I was at my mother's house for Christmas, and she shared the Christmas story. And I said, "Mother, if you ever read that Bible to me again, we won't come back." Well, she didn't. She never mentioned God to me again. What she did do, she started praying, got all of her friends praying. I had the worst year of my life. I was driving, had a wreck, under the influence, lost my license. I go on and on and on. Let me tell you about next Christmas. I was hungry. And I was hungry. And December 8, 1978, this shows you, if you don't have a hunger for the Lord, I'll just share this with you. December the 7th, I could care less about God and His Word. And I remember an afternoon, I invited Christ into my life. And in 1 second, I don't even know that it was a second, I went from hating God, hating His Word. In a split second, I loved God, and I wanted to learn all I could about His Word and about Him. That's powerful. You know, I mean, there's nothing in the world that can do that. Can take a person who hates God and hates His Word, and within a split second, all of a sudden, you're in love with God, and you love His Word, and you want more and more and more, and also love my mother. Because she was the first person I called when that happened. Anyway, sometimes even as believers, we don't believe this. And we still continue to try to satisfy that hunger and that thirst with things of the world. I can tell you, it won't satisfy. Only Jesus will satisfy. He is the only one can satisfy us. Why have a quiet time? Well, simply, what does Jesus say in Matthew 4:4? He said, "Man shall not," what? "Live by bread alone." Just as we have to eat physically, to eat food to be physically strong, healthy, we have to feed spiritually upon the Word of God, which is the truth, which is Christ, which is a person. We have to feed upon the Word of God. If we don't, we will die. Spiritually, we will spend our life in the wilderness eating manna from heaven that doesn't satisfy our hunger. There may be someone here today that's in the wilderness. That's fine. This is a great place to be if you're in the wilderness. And maybe you're still in Egypt, don't even know the Lord. That's even a better thing. That's the easiest thing you can do right there. Is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come out of Egypt completely in 1 second. We also, in Peter, the Bible says that, let me read that, Peter 2:2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation." We also feed upon the Word of God. To grow spiritually, to become healthy spiritually. We have to feed upon the Word of God. It's a simple thing. Just as the body transforms metabolism, whatever you call that, when you eat food, processes it, and turns that food into energy, the same way with the Word of God. It energizes us. It gives us power. It satisfies the hunger that we have. That's what the Word of God will do. And boy, I've learned that so much. I'm still learning it. But only the Word of God, only Jesus. And I would say that a quiet time is a little bit more than milk. You know, Hebrews talks about eating the meat of the Word. The milk, like this morning, you're getting milk. You're getting something I've already digested, and I'm sharing with you. That's milk. Babies love milk. But the meat is when you get by yourself with the Lord and get in His Word. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you through His Word. That's eating meat, and then you do it. You practice it. You endure the word on your own, by yourself, with the Lord. That's the meat of the word. You know, so many people are on milk. And that's what you're, and milk's okay. I love milk, and that's what this is. Nothing wrong with milk. But if you stay on just milk, you may grow, but you'll just still be a baby. You know, I think a lot of churches, a lot of people, you see a lot of big babies, you know. They're big babies because all they do is have milk. They never get into the word and have the meat of the word. And you know what babies do. They cry, they complain, they moan, they're hungry, all that stuff. Anyway, if you're here as a baby this morning, that's good too. It's a good place to be. We can move on into the meat, start eating the meat of the word this morning. So why have a quiet time to live, to grow? Why have a quiet time is to feed upon the word of God, upon Jesus, the word that became flesh. When should we have a quiet time? Well, someone's already mentioned, I think it was John back there, says weekly bread. Is that what the Bible says? Give me my weekly bread. Daily bread. My daily bread. Daily bread. Just like the Israelites in the Old Testament. Daily. Our daily bread. We can feed on Him daily. That's when we should have a quiet time. Daily. Well, the other thing is when. When in the day? Well, I don't want to be dogmatic about this, but, you know, just this morning I was reading in my quiet time in Ezekiel, and Ezekiel, I think it was 46, where was it this morning? But it was talking about morning by morning to offer up a blemish, a lamb without blemish. And they were to do that daily, and they were to do that morning by morning. And you see that so often in Genesis and Exodus and all through the Bible. You see morning by morning our offerings to God. Here again, the main thing is to have a quiet time. But I'm just telling you, this is not an absolute. Having a daily time with the Lord, I believe, is an absolute. But when you have it, it's not. But I would encourage you to have it in the morning. I mean, Vince, when did you tune up your guitar? When did you tune that up? Before or after you've played it? Before. I mean, just common sense tells you that we want to get in tune with the Lord before the day starts. So I would encourage you to get up early in the morning. Now, I know you may say, well, I'm not a morning person. I don't know how that fits in. I'm not a morning person. I am now, but I didn't used to be. And I don't know whether not being a morning person is intentional or if it's just something God's given to you. I don't know. But I know by nature, I stay up late and sleep late. But probably dating back to 2007, I really started committing myself to getting up early in the morning. And now I can hardly wait. And I don't want to sound like I'm more spiritual because I'm not. And most of you know me. I might have changed some, but I'm still who I am, so you definitely know me then. But I'm telling you that to me is one of the best time of the day for me. It's the best time. And what I've learned is I cannot do without it. I can't do without it. And life can be difficult, even when you're walking, spending daily time with the Lord. But when you're not, it's going to be very tough, very tough. I see all through the scripture. And then in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we see when did Jesus spend time with his father? Mark 1:35. Rising up very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and he went out to a desolate place and there he prayed. Jesus got up early in the morning. That word, this morning when I was looking that word up and I just kind of wanted to see the original meaning of that word, morning by morning or early. And the word means before day. It's a preposition, means before the daylight, before the dawn, before daylight. That's That's what it's talking about here in all these places throughout the Bible. When David got up early in the morning, it's talking about before daylight. There again, I know that that's a form, so I don't want to be legalistic about it. I want us to find something that really helps us have that good, rich time with the Lord. And if it means getting up early in the morning, if it means before anyone else gets up, if that would help you, then that's the only reason I'm saying this, is that it might enhance and make our time with the Lord better. That's the only reason I'm saying that. And the Bible does have that pattern throughout. But the main thing is that we walk 24/7 with the Lord. That's all this is in the morning, is a time to usher in, just like you tune your guitar or musical instruments only so you can play it. And that's the way the quiet time is. It's where we can get in tune with the Lord and then walk with the Lord daily. Now, I getting a little age on me, I found just a few months ago that I would go during the daytime. I said, now what was my quiet time about this morning? And I couldn't remember it. So I told Edith, I said, if you will remind me, ask me to share with you what my quiet time was about, because I forget it. And so we want to keep it fresh on our mind. So little things like that, we can be helpful to share it with other people. What is the Lord, how is He speaking to you? What's going on in your life? What's He doing? Every day we should have something that God's doing in our life. And I tell you, if you start really committing yourself to this daily, you will have something every day. He will speak to you every day. You will have something. And it's exciting. I tell you, it just gets better and better. So, morning by morning, you think back in the manna from heaven, and it's a principle, think back, if they try to store it up, look what happened to it. You cannot store it up. You can store the Word of God, but you've got to develop that daily walk with the Lord, that daily, 24/7 or as much when you're awake with the Lord. That's so important. I'm thinking back to people that really have impacted my life, and I was thinking, well, Henry Blackaby did, and what he shared, that was a turning point in my daily time. And then someone else, that a businessman that influenced me to Christ, was the main influence me coming to Christ, and you here again, you've probably heard me share this, was Sam Rome. He was a businessman who came in my store in Apex, and I saw something different about him, and I even went home and told Edith, I said, I don't know what he's got, but that's what I want. I want what he's got. And boy, what he had? He had a joy of the Lord that came from the inside out. He had something different. It was just something different. It wasn't an outward showing. It was a walk with Jesus is what it was. And come find out after I got saved and talked to him, and he became a mentor. And I learned that he every morning he rolled out of his bed, rolled down on his knees, and spent time with the Lord and prayed and these things. And that's what we need today. That's the greatest tool of evangelism that you'll ever have, because I grew up in a Christian home. I saw, being in the Bible Belt here, Everybody I saw just about was a Christian that 40 years ago, but there was something different about him. You remember when John and Peter in Acts chapter 4 verse 13, when it says they were walking in the marketplace, they looked and they saw Peter and John. Do you remember what they noticed about Peter and John? Does anyone remember? They had been with Jesus. It's interesting to think about that. Now, when I saw Sam Rome, I was not a believer. I didn't have the Spirit of God. I had not been born again. But you know what? I saw something different. So it's interesting that even a lost person can discern whether it's for real or not. And it can't be for real if you're not spending time with the Lord, I'm telling you. And people know if you're faking it or if your Christianity is just an outward showing. And we need to be careful about that too. There's no substitute for spending time and sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's just no substitute for that. Well, I think I've hit that pretty hard. When? I think the morning. I'm even seeing Edith move towards the morning a little bit. That's the reason I'm really careful on this thing, because, you know, I have to live with her. And but I am seeing a shift towards the morning. But
not 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, never. Okay. No, I'm joking. The main thing is have a daily quiet time. It doesn't matter. Believe me. Okay, where should we have a quiet time? Well, right here we just saw where did Jesus have a quiet time? Where did he have his time with his Father?
Desolate place.
Yeah. Desolate, or I know I looked up that word and it means unpopulated. Unpopulated, desolate, desert. In other words, he had previously been around a lot of people, so he had to get that time, get up early in the morning before with the people not around and go spend time with his Father. Now, if Jesus had to do that, I don't know about you, but I know that's what I need. I need to get away from everything. I mean, sometimes, you know, something, I want to check an email. I want to check this. I want to check that. I look at that. I can't do one thing before I get into the Word. If I ever look at anything before the Word, I'm doomed. It's over. Then it's superficial. That's just me. So I have to be careful. I can't do anything. First thing, well, I do one thing. I got to confess to you. I do one thing. I got to tell you, this has probably become very, it has become important. It might be an idol, I don't know. But I really enjoy a cup of coffee with my quiet time. So I hope God doesn't take that away from me. If he does, he'll have something better. But I do enjoy that cup of coffee. I do get that going with the Lord. So anyway, a desolate, unpopulated place. Quiet. I don't know about you, but we need a quiet place. And then even when Jesus said, where do you pray? He said, pray in the closet, not like the Pharisees who wear it on their shoulder and out in public. And later, I had a quiet thing this morning. I spent 4 hours in prayer and all this stuff, you know. No, quiet time, private time, in a closet by ourselves, completely alone, is what I would recommend. In having a daily quiet time, you know, I've been a believer since 1978. Years, you know, quiet time most of the mornings. Some mornings no, sometimes yes, and struggle. You know, let me just say this. I don't want to forget to say this, that, you know, developing this is like, you remember when you had to learn to ride a bicycle. You know, you get on the bicycle and you're all over the place and then keep on trying, working on it. Pretty soon you're flying around on the bicycle, no problem. Well, that's kind of like it is with a quiet time. You know, we fall, we miss. Sometimes we go through the desert, but just hang in there. Don't give up. Hang in there. Press on. God will meet you. God will make it a rich time in the Lord. So I would encourage you that. And remember, I remember Ken Doss had a book on John White. He got it where he went to Bible college years ago. It was on depression or something or something like that. Years ago, he showed me that book. But I remember in that book, it had the victorious life in Christ is a life of new beginnings. I'll never forget that. That's the victorious life in Christ. Is a life of new beginnings. So we can have a new beginning every day. I know sometimes I need them several times in one day. But don't give up. Don't quit. God is there. He will not cast you out. If he sent his only son, then certainly he's going to receive you. And if he'll go searching like for that coin or that lost sheep or the prodigal son, certainly he wants us. He's always there. And he's a God of new beginnings. That is so neat. God is so good. God is so forgiving. God is I mean, to imagine the Creator, the God, being like that is just, it's overwhelming. Well, I think we've covered what is a quiet time, why I have a quiet time, when, where. I thought I'd share how to have a quiet time. You know, I'm going to throw some things out here that help me, that I think finding a quiet place alone is very important. I know Edith has her quiet time. I have mine. And then we'll have a little time together reading the Bible. But I really think a quiet time is alone with the Lord. Then you can come together and spend time together. That's just my opinion. I think a place where you can really just focus on the Lord, I think in the morning is the preferred time, I think. But there again, hey, that's okay. Main thing is have a quiet time. It doesn't matter when you have it, evening, morning, whatever. The other thing is not bite off more than you can chew. You know, not say, well, I'm going to start January the 1st. I'm going to read through the whole Bible in a year. Some people do that. I'm a slow reader. I'm a very slow reader. If I read fast, I don't get anything out of it. So I'm not a very fast reader. So I would not be careful to bite off more than you can chew. And if you're just starting out, or if you've not been consistent, just really, I got some suggestions for you. For a contribution of $1,000, I'd like to send you this Bible. No. We don't sell anything. We don't sell anything. In fact, this church helps print some of this stuff. So thank you for that. But here's something good to start off on. Daily bread, or have it in addition. You can read the scripture in there. That's a great little book there to start with. Then I've got this book here on the Holy Spirit, where it takes every place the Holy Spirit's mentioned in the Bible and makes it into a quiet time each day. So you got 365 places in the Bible it mentions the Holy Spirit. So when I did that, I learned things that I've been taught about the Holy Spirit that's not in the Bible, and learned some things that I've been taught that's in the Bible that wasn't taught me. So anyway, that's just something. In here, we do not sell these. I take not a penny for myself out of there. But in here is several things that can get you started in a quiet time. We have a big section there on quiet time. One thing is, you can take the names of God and the attributes of God for each day, day one, day two, for 30 days. And you'll look at all the names of God in the Bible and what they mean in the Bible verse. Now, I know I was in Israel working with the Chinese church back in August. Most of them, there were some migrant workers from China there, but there was a lot that were at the university, at Tek Nam University. And they are under a lot of pressure. They're studying all the time. And, you know, it's amazing the people, as I travel around, that are struggling. And we all struggle. But people that share that with me, one of the first things I ask them once, you know, they're a believer, I say, do you have a consistent time with the Lord daily? 90% of the time, they do not have a consistent daily time with the Lord. Well, I tell you, you're going to struggle if you're a believer and you're not in the Word. I can just tell you, you're going to struggle, because we're now born again and we have the Spirit of God living in us. And that Spirit needs to be fed the Word of God. And whichever one we feed the most is one that's going to be the most active, the most in control. We feed the old nature, the sinful nature, we feed that. Then it's going to take over. We feed the Spirit, then the Spirit is going to control. And that's what we're to do, to walk in the Spirit, to be filled, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So So I always encourage a daily quiet time. He says, well, I'm so busy, I just don't have time. I said, turn over this page. We're going through this book here, and we have it in Mandarin. And so I turn over back here, and I said, now look here. How about if you can do this a day? And I said, let's just see how long it takes to do this first one, name Jehovah. So we read that, read the scripture, and then write down the application. It takes 4 minutes. Write it 4 minutes. He said, wow. I said, you think you could carve out 5 minutes a day? He said, oh, well, I can do that. That's no problem. I mean, you know, the Lord's given us 1,440 minutes in a day. And we can't take 5 minutes out for the one who created us, who sustains us, who gave his only son for us. 5 minutes out of 1,440. So that's something if you want to do that. Or we have a 30-day encounter with Jesus where you just go through and you look at the scripture there in the life of Christ. Take 5-10 minutes a day if you want to do that. Also, if you want to read through the Bible, I don't know if you've ever read through the Bible. What I do, I read like New Testament in 1 year. And that works out good for me. Or Old Testament in 1 year. I can't read them both. And then I read one. It says you can read one in the morning, one at night. Well, one at night, you can forget it. I'm not. Once I'm off and running then. So, but that works good for me. But it didn't work good for me for years. It may be right now, daily bread would be good. And that's fine. God knows. He knows. He'll work with you. So here you've got a Bible reading through the Old Testament, New Testament. You can do it in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. But I would encourage, once you're grounded in the Word, is try reading the whole Bible through. If it takes you 5 years, hey, no problem. That's fine. That's okay. If you just one verse is okay. Daily bread is okay. Please, main thing is start spending that time with the Lord. Sound like I'm selling something up here. I am. I'm selling this. If I just plead with people. In fact, when I left that night at the university with those Chinese students, in tears, because I knew most of them were not having the daily time with the Lord, and a lot of them were struggling with their school and everything. And so I just pleaded in tears, please, 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 please start developing that time with the Lord. And I say it to you, please, please, please. And if nothing else, just taste it. The Bible says, taste the Word of God. Just taste it. In Jeremiah, and I'll close with this. Jeremiah says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. So I would encourage you, just taste it and see. Now, if you taste it and it's not good, maybe you should consider being born again. My testimony is that once I got saved, God's word was very exciting and I wanted to learn more about him. Now, I've gone through the desert. I've gone through, a lot of you know, we've all gone through hard times. We go through desert times. I'm not talking about those. We go through hard times. God's very patient, very good, very patient with us, very merciful and gracious and loving and kind and gentle and all those things. That's him. So just taste it. And as you think what Jeremiah is talking about, well, he's tasting the word, and then if you taste something, you taste it, that's pretty good. You chew it, and then you swallow it. You taste it, you think about it, you apply it, you do it. Take just one little thing and taste it and meditate on it and do it. Just one thing, and you will see, I promise you, the joy of the Lord and the light in his word. Try it. If it doesn't work, I give you a full refund. So, Anyway, any of these books here, and I think you've got plenty of those, and any of these up here, if you want one, I would not, if you're not having a consistent quiet time, I would not suggest Holy Spirit. Maybe start developing it through the New Testament, through the daily bread or something. Take it easy. God knows. He knows. But let me leave you with this. Jesus said, behold, and this we use it for lost sinners, and it is can be for lost sinners, but really it's for God's people. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open, I'll come in and fellowship with him. That's what God wants. Martha, Martha, you're busy about so many things. One thing is necessary. And the one thing, the most important thing we can do is something that every one of us can do in here. Every one of us. Noah, you can do that. Every one of us can do it. No matter how young, how old, take you one little verse. Take daily bread, whatever. Okay. Let me close in prayer. Lord, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to convict us and to illuminate us and to create a hunger and give us the power to be doers of your word and not hearers only. And Lord, I pray that for any here that maybe, Lord, maybe they've not been born again, I pray that the Holy Spirit would move in their hearts and minds, Lord, that they would come to know you personally and have that hunger for your word and be able to drink and eat upon something that will satisfy forever. Lord, I pray for anyone here who's maybe struggling with a daily quiet time or struggling in life, in their Christian life, Lord, that you would draw them close to you, Lord. Speak to them through your word and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us, I pray for all of us, to develop that time with you daily, that, Lord, it would just be the beginning of a walk with you, a walk with Christ, that we can walk with you, Lord. Thank you for being so patient and gentle, kind to us, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you, God, that you are truly a God of new beginnings. I thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that continues to cleanse us from all of our sins. Thank you for this time together. Pray that Terry will feel better, Lord, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.